This episode of Full Credit to the Boys is brought to you by Rum & Q Barbecue Hire. Rum & Q are award-winning pitmasters with barbecue equipment and all the accessories you need for a private party or major corporate event. Check them out at rumandqbbqhire.com.
Rum & Q Barbecue Pitmasters.
This week on Full Credit to the Boys, Usain Bolt doesn't. The Dragons fall down a ladder faster than Molly Meldrum. And we create podcasting history. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend. You can find the bloke to me on my right on Twitter at Sid Punts, all one word. He's a man who confused his gay postal vote for the Logies votes this week. He's wearing a KB beer carton as a singlet, who this week began carb loading for the World CrossFit Games. Welcome, Sid.
I have been carb loading, that is true.
And that's the only bit that's true.
All of it's true.
Now listen, this week a story has come out of England suggesting that the Queen is some sort of piss wreck, Sid.
You're joking.
Queen Elizabeth II knocks back 4 alcoholic beverages a day, making her a binge drinker by her own government standards.
I pledge allegiance to her already.
According to The Independent, Her Majesty drinks a gin and Dubonnet with lemon and ice before lunch.
Sure.
Always good to get an early start to the day with one just before lunch.
Early.
A wine with lunch.
Fair enough.
A dry martini after lunch.
Yeah.
And then a glass of champagne at night, Sid. Now, that comes to a 6 units per day, which would make the Queen a binge drinker by government standards.
Interesting.
Now, she's having 4 drinks a day. What's Prince Philip having? I mean, of the two, he's the loosest. Well, she might indulge in 4 cocktails a day, Sid. Insiders say she's always doing it on a full stomach.
Good for her.
She's not an animal.
She cooks a lot, I would imagine.
The government states that men and women should not exceed 14 units per week.
Per week?
Now, if the Independent is correct, and this is indeed how much Queen Elizabeth drinks per day, then she's knocking back 41 units per week, making her one of the great piss tanks of her age in the world, right up there with people like Buzz Rothfield.
Yeah.
Molly Meldrum. It wasn't only last summer you said to me many times that you ran into Her Majesty in the cool room at Dan Murphy's as she was trying to decide between a carton of Cooper's Red for $65 or a carton of Summer Chill for $48.
Yeah, I don't know why she was penny pinching. It was at in the cool room at Cornell. I met her at BWS. But seriously, it's not the Queen's fault. The government standards need looking at here, not her behaviour. I've had 14 units and we're, 3 minutes 20 into the podcast. If I had to visit a toothpaste factory or an abattoir every day and shake hands with the peasants or be married to Prince Philip, I'd be pissed all the time too, I reckon.
Look at Charles' big ears. Now surely with schoolies under such pressure that people wanted to discontinue, surely they could get the Queen on board to become the patron for that 2-week piss-up, Sid.
Absolutely.
I mean, how does she go when she launches one of those boats and breaks the bottle over the side of the bow?
Well, how much wine comes out of it? Maybe she's drunk half of it already.
I don't know, but that'd explain why she was caught licking the side of a boat one time. And you reckon she'll be trading the corgis in for a couple of those St. Bernard dogs with the big barrels of whiskey underneath their collar?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think she gets on the cans and kicks those little corgis around. She doesn't want a big dog fighting back.
Oh, she's a real piss wreck, a real angry drunk.
Yeah. God save the Queen.
Second story this week, a painful incident occurred at the historic Artis Zoo in Amsterdam. It's the oldest zoo in the Netherlands, Sid.
Oh, great.
A drunk man jumped the spiked fence of the zoo after hours, but became caught on the fence and had to be freed by emergency services as it was discovered he was skewered on the fence by his scrotum, resulting in the intruder losing one of his cags.
Oh, no. A skewered scrotum. Well, I can't think of a worse injury. I've been to Amsterdam on numerous occasions. I don't know about you, but the zoo was not on my list of attractions there.
Well, unless you're looking for a packet of Doritos or something. The metal spike went through old mate's dusters, leaving him screaming in pain and unable to remove himself without tearing a bigger hole in the old hairy beanbag, said. It wasn't a couple of hours later that emergency services arrived on the scene to actually take him off the fence with the spike coming back out through the hole in the old cag.
Nah, it doesn't get any worse than that.
Now, another story to come out of this week is from one of our creditors, Hannah McArdle. We'll blame her for this one. A woman was shot in her vajayjay, Sid, and left with life-changing injuries in a sex game gone wrong.
Well, that didn't take long. I just heard a worse injury. A gunshot to the clam. Wow.
A 46-year-old lady had been engaged in a sexual activity with David Andrew Jeffers, 47, at a Stockport hotel in January when she was shot. The two had been engaged in a sex fantasy when the weapon fired into her love wallet, the Crown Prosecution Service said. The surgeon worked on her lady garden for 15 hours in an attempt to save it from looking like a dog's breakfast. Now,
well, it's every girl's fantasy to have a shot in their hairy handbag, isn't
well,
it?
I'll tell you.
This is totally understandable.
How does that happen?
What's wrong with people?
Does she start talking to it and goes, fire your weapon into me.
Yeah.
Bang!
She's 46, he's 47. Calm down, people.
Grow up.
Grow
I mean,
up.
Honestly, is this the first time a woman would have prayed for a bloke to shoot some blanks?
Where do you get these stories?
Hannah McArdle.
Thanks, Hannah.
Fourth story up this week. Four female strippers have been charged with murder.
Glad it's getting better. Yeah.
Sorry to end on a somber note. After a good Samaritan who helped them change a tyre was shot in the back of the head.
Oh, wow.
Now, 55-year-old Ralph Cross was killed by Missouri strippers. And I'll give you these names. They aren't made up, Sid. I want to point out now. Panisha Taylor, who's 23. Janisha Simmons, who's 19. Letitia Dotson, who's 23. And Brittany Curry. Well, she says her name's Brittany, but if you're a copper arresting Panisha, Janisha, and Letitia, surely you're within your rights to start asking some questions about Brittany's name.
Yeah, Brittany doesn't sound like a stripper name. Panisha, Janisha, Letitia. I think they're cheerleaders at the Panthers, aren't they? Being shot by four strippers is a pretty good way to go out, I guess. Probably better than being shot in the vag.
The old love wallet. Holiest of holies. Reports that the Bulldogs are in salary cap trouble, Sid, for next year, and if they cannot clear their books, they'll be forced by the NRL to offload their latest signings, which of course would mean either Aaron Woods or Kieran Foran would be forced to leave the club before they even played a game there.
Yeah, this is bull crap. They will clear the decks. It is true that the NRL won't register the new contracts until the Dogs are salary cap compliant, but they'll sort it out. I hear the Morris boys are on the nose and are being shopped around. They'll find a way.
There's a few of them. Today's rumour was that David Clemmer was being shopped around.
Wouldn't Woodsy be filthy? Wow.
If they could get Clemmer to go, Jason Taylor to come back.
Yeah.
It would just be...
Clemmer to the Tigers would be the ultimate. Oh, how good would that be?
Kicking the guts. In the dressing sheds after their dismal loss against the Eels, the Bulldogs' David Clemmer was given some footy tips from a bloke many consider to be one of the game's greatest thinkers, a bloke by the name of Paul Aoun.
Yes.
Clemmer took exception to the advice and was trying to work out, after being told he should be trying to work an offload into his game, and asked Aoun outside, a bit of the old me, you, car park now sort of gear, Sid.
Well, Paul Aoun has actually played as many first grade games as I have. And he's a great thinker in rugby league circles, very well regarded. Look, I've got no problems with this. Clemmer has to harden up. If you buy a ticket to the game, you can act any way you want. As the great Homer Simpson once said, Marge, this ticket doesn't just give me a seat, it also gives me the right, no, the duty to make a complete ass of myself. And that's what Aoun has done.
Well done, Paul. News.com.au report that Russell Crowe was recently refused entry into a juniors game at Mascot Oval. Crowe was told he couldn't come in as he was accompanied by his blue cattle dog named K Blue. I mean, and I'll spell that out for you. Q-U-E-B-L-U-E.
Oh, it's like Rum and Q Blue. Everyone's jumping on board.
Oh, well, there you go. Rum and Cube Blue. Where he's got it from.
Yeah,
sure.
That's
Rum
where he got
Q
it from.
Blue.
He's a big listener to the show. G'day, Russ. If you want to come on and play Porn Star Athlete, let us know.
Yeah, maybe that might be a shout-out for the week, Russell Crowe.
Yeah, get him on.
He then looked on as a woman was allowed entry into the Oval with a Labradoodle.
What?
Who was described as the team's mascot. Ironically, it was Mascot Oval, Sid. That was the secret password to get your dog in.
This is dead set un-Australian. If the gladiator can't take his cattle dog to the footy, what kind of country are we living in? Some chick is allowed in with a Labradoodle. This is dead set why New South Wales can't win a series.
Actually, just reading back through that now, it wasn't a lady that was with the Labradoodle. It was Buzz Rothfield.
That explains it.
Adam Blair has been confirmed as a target signing by the Knights coach, Nathan Brio.
Everyone's a target by the Knights coach. I believe
sure
the Warriors.
He had a good interview on Triple M on the weekend. Oh, very interesting. Yeah, he won't just take anyone, and that's what he said. We're not here to take people's rejects and offloads, but we will be selective about who we sign.
And he has to be like that. I think the Warriors are making a play for Blair, which would be a good career move for him. He thrives when the team is structured and disciplined.
Well, I was thinking too, I'm not sure Adam Blair's a good signing for anyone. The only time he's gone well is under blokes by like Bellamy and Bennett.
Yep.
He went no good in Tigers colours.
No, true.
And I'd be deeply concerned that, like you said, under a bloke that maybe doesn't offer the same sort of discipline or have the
old
same
one
sort
leg
of football weight, like a one-legged over in Auckland. Or Ethan Brownie, for that matter. I'm not sure though. I'd be rushing to sign him.
No, they're talking like 4-year contract at the Warriors.
Oof. Oh, jeez.
Big call.
Can't they sign a good player?
Yeah.
Turn him to poo. The West Group have taken control of the Knights after 93% of their club members voted yes.
Who were the stupid 7%? This should have been done when they came into the comp.
I agree. Final piece of news this week in a piece of marketing brilliance from Parramatta. Brad Arthur has penned a letter to all their members asking their bosses to let them leave early on Friday so they can make the 6 p.m. kickoff against the Knights.
Yeah, this is much like Bob Hawke when we won the America's Cup when he said, any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up today is a bum. And make no mistake, Parramatta versus Newcastle this Friday night is equally as important to the whole of Australia as that historic America's Cup win. Good initiative by B. Arthur.
Round 22 review, Sid, and it was referee appreciation round.
We don't appreciate them enough.
No. And on Thursday night, the Eels easily handled the Bulldogs at Renovators Delight, beating them 20-4. The only thing worse than the Dogs on Thursday night was the weather, as it pissed down, Sid.
Sure did.
And a shout out to the 12,000 fans there, official crowd.
Well, this is exactly how the Eels got themselves into salary cap problems last year. They dead set can't count. It was not 12,000 people there.
12,000 fans standing under four umbrellas by the looks of it. The Eels' first try was as soft as butter, a barge over from, who was it, Sid?
It was a barge over from, his name escapes me.
Hang on, I'll ask Siri. Siri, who scored the first try on Thursday night, Bulldogs versus Eels?
David Alvaro.
That's right, David Alvaro.
Yeah, thanks, Siri.
Yeah, and that sort of, that try had many people in the commentary box describing the Dogs' defence as embarrassing, Sid. And that was the start of the rot. Their attack was once again pitiful, as was their control of the ball. The Bulldogs' night was summed up in one play as Josh Morris took a penalty tap after they'd found touch, only to drop the ball cold as he put the ball on his foot.
It was embarrassing.
If it was a dry night, the Eels may well have won by 40.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. The Dogs were lucky to only go down 20-4. Their attack was just non-existent nearly.
Yeah, now Almighty and the Surgeon from the former Legion Backyard Stats Lab tell us the Eels had 7 forwards make more than 100 metres with a ball tucked under their arm. Siosai Vave made 155, Nathan Brown 175, Daniel Alvaro ran for 117.
David
favorite.
Alvaro, that's his name.
Kenny Edwards 147, Suai Matagai 149, and Manu Ma'u 120, and Tim Manor 112.
Yeah, the Parramatta forwards are doing a great job, none more so than Nathan Brown. On top of his 180-odd metres, he also had 4 offloads, 35 tackles, and a head injury. Still didn't stop him.
Thanks to the boys in the stats lab for that. Now, the heat is definitely on Des Hasler right now, with the Fairfax outlets immediately reporting after the game that he has 5 weeks to save his job.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the fence, Brad Arthur's biggest issue seems to be injuries to key players. Despite winning their sixth game in a row, their speed machine, Bevan French, went off due to a hamstring injury and will be monitored this week. Obviously, French is already filling at fullback for the injured Clint Gutherson.
Yeah, they're saying they're going to rest him this week against the Knights, which is a dangerous proposition. They're on fire, the Knights. Two in a row.
I'm not sure.
That's a streak.
Friday night, the Dragons continued their brown run, going down to Souths at the SCG, 26 points to 24.
Yep.
Now, with 5 minutes to go, the Dragons were up by 10 points and looked as though they were about to turn their recent bad form around before the Bunnies scored 2 tries in 3 minutes, Sid, to go past the Red V and leave fans looking at the upcoming draw and guessing how many wins they will need to make the top eight.
Yep.
It's been a better free fall from the top of the charts than Psy tried to back up Gangnam Style with whatever that next song was. The Dragons were heading the table in April and May and are now outside the top eight.
Yeah, I think it was around about that time that I said the Dragons would definitely make the eight. So you're welcome, Dragons fans. Once again, they
backed them 8 times since then too, by the way.
Yes. And once again, they snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. This is one they should not have lost. Disgraceful.
After one of our creditors, Chinners, or she can be found at DJ and Goose, had a crack at us last week.
Yes.
For not employing females down in the former legend backyard stats lab. Two of the new girls down at the lab, Maxie Pat and Fanny Bullitt, sent us through Adam Reynolds' stats. Now, despite being nowhere near his 2016 form.
What were those names again?
Maxie Pat and Fanny Bullitt.
How can Shitters say we're sexist around here? We employ everyone. Keep going.
Yeah. Despite being nowhere near his 2016 form, his kicking has been out of the box.
Oh, wow.
So far this year, he's knocked over 55 from 61 attempts.
Yeah.
And in this game, his 5 from 5 ended up being the difference as he slotted the match-winning kick from the sideline.
Wow. Yeah, it was a grandstand finish for the Bunnies. Reynolds kicking the conversion from the sideline in front of about 876 people at the SCG. The talk out of Bunnyland, I'm not sure if you've heard this, Robbie Farah's on the nose again, this time at South Sydney. Senior players saying...
Not on the...
He does have a big nose, but no, he's on the nose. Senior players saying that he doesn't follow the game plan and plays for himself. This is unheard of. Unheard of.
Are they sure they got the right bloke?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
He only played 19 minutes on Friday night. Do you reckon trouble's brewing or what?
No, not if they keep playing him with that small amount.
They'll get rid of the coach first, surely.
Maguire, watch your back, son.
Watch your back, brother.
Even though the Dragons have a decent run into the semis, they might be forced to play a few games without Josh Dugan, who went down with a high ankle sprain that will need monitoring. And I know.
What?
Shock. Shock's just set in. Robbie Farah's on the nose. Josh Dugan's getting injured.
What's going on? Is this like it's every week
world.
Script?
Tyson Frizzell was also forced to leave the field early, although super coach Mary McGregor says he'll be right to go against the Titans this week.
Good.
Now, the Cowboys were honest but couldn't overcome the storm at 1,300 smiles, going down 26 points to 8. Injuries to the Cowboys early in this had them down to one reserve left on the bench after just 30 minutes of play, with Gavin Cooper, Antonio Winterstein and Scott Bolton all hurt in an horror a half hour that led to a huge reshuffle with the cyborg Cohen Hess playing in the centres.
Yeah, look, the human cyborg Cohen Hess is a good player, but I'm no super coach. He wouldn't be my first choice in the centres.
I've got to be honest. Paul Green had very few choices with what was available
exactly.
to him.
Exactly. The Cowboys tried hard, but under those conditions and against, again, a clinical storm, it was just too hard for the Cowboys.
And the thing was, too, once they had the cyborg out there, Smith, Kronk and Slater picked up on it and used it to their advantage. I think they scored 3 tries down that side.
Yeah. But what about Paul Green giving it to the refs? It's the ref's fault.
And just got fined as we came on air.
he labelled this game as the worst refereeing display he had ever seen.
The worst.
But when Cameron Smith was questioned about the refs, he had this to say, and this is a direct quote. Cameron Smith says, "It wasn't something I felt I did differently to any other game this year. As far as the refereeing and the overall consistency, I didn't see any major issues." Now, in the paper this week, they had the longest serving NRL referees, and number two on their list, they actually wrote Cameron Smith at 350 games.
Who's that, the Telegraph?
The Telegraph. Full taking the piss out of him.
Yeah, see, it's the Australian captain.
It is the Australian captain.
You can't whinge about players not wanting to talk to your paper. And not like this was their whinge last year. No one wants to talk to them. We're trying to promote the game.
The game's dying.
I know a headline's a headline, but that's not going to promote the game. That's not going to get players wanting to talk to you. You're going to think you're a bunch of assholes.
I totally agree. It's weak as piss.
Like you said, it's Australian captain. Come on.
Yep.
Now, Wingnut and Flathead from the Formal Edition Backyard Stats Lab tell us the combined stats from the Storm's two wingers were close to perfect. Vunivalu and Addo Carr, the Fox, ran for a combined 340 metres, had three line breaks, and scored four of the Storm's five tries.
Yeah, well, I think you'll find my tip for the most tries this season at the beginning of the year was Addo Carr, and Normie rubbished me. So we got rid of Normie, and Addo Carr is dead set on track to top the top try scorers this year.
Nostradamus, that's the only thing you've got right this year.
Yes.
Now, while the Storm keep on trucking towards another minor premiership, the Cowboys are starting to feel the pinch of losing a few on the trot in the middle of a congested top eight. They finished the year with games against the Panthers, Sharks, Tigers and Broncos, and will need to win at least two of those to play semi-finals footy.
Yeah, it'll be tough for the Cows to clinch that eighth spot, especially with a fast-finishing Dragon side breathing down their neck.
Saturday, the Knights beat the Warriors at $5 lunchtime McWraps for a limited time only stadium, 26 points to 10. Now, it's been 711 days since the Knights won two games in a row. Or as I know it, two Prime Ministers, four iPhones and three co-hosts of Full Credit to the Boys later. On the other side of the fence, since 2012, the Warriors are 8 wins and 41 losses after Origin Series.
Wow.
And are also 2 wins and 14 losses with games without Sean Johnson.
Yeah, you could sense that the Knights were going to roll the Warriors. I think we both tipped this week. Good on the Knights for bagging two in a row. But the Warriors, I'm putting it out there, they are a national disgrace.
International.
Okay.
After this game, Coach Stephen Kearney called on some questionable efforts from his team, saying there were some guys out there trying very hard and there were some guys out there that weren't. There were some individuals whose efforts were very questionable in this competition, and you can't have that. According to assistant coach Stacey Jones, Kearney threatened to walk them out the front gate of Mount Smart Stadium if the coach sensed any player switching off over the final five rounds. With that in mind, Sid, I'd expect the front of Mount Smart Stadium on Monday morning to look like the start of the New York Marathon.
Yeah, I think there'll be probably four players left at training after he gives all the bludgers their marching orders.
Now, the only downside to this game for the Knights was the shocking injury to cult hero Nathan Brown.
Ross Dog. Nathan Ross.
Nathan
Ross Dog.
Not Nathan Brown. Nathan Ross, who
suffered... They say Ross Dog one more time, I'm telling you.
Who suffered a fractured back when an accidental knee from Blake Ageford went wrong. On the upside, Ross's injury will not require surgery and he was discharged from hospital on Saturday evening, but will miss the rest of the year.
Yeah, it was nasty. You don't want to hear the words fracture and back anytime, ever. Thankfully, he was discharged from hospital, as you say, and he will be okay.
The Titans never raised a whimper going down to the Big Brothers, the Broncos, at Crazy Horse Stadium, 54 points to nil. That's right, 54 points to nil, Sid. After the game, Titans captain... what's his name? Siri.
Siri, what's the Titans captain's name?
Ryan James.
That's right, Ryan James. Now,
thank you, Siri. Better third co-host than Normie ever was. More knowledgeable. Thanks, Siri.
And probably straighter than Shifty. Ryan James said after gave a blunt assessment of his own team's performance, saying, the Broncos made them look like idiots. The performance was bad enough to many Titans that had many Titans fans leave the stadium with 20 minutes to go. Coach King Henry added, "It's embarrassing. It's disappointing. It's all those sorts of words."
Well, I'm going to be
a bit real words.
I'm going to be a bit controversial here.
Old Thesaurus Henry.
Look, I think after this game, we're seeing the demise of the Broncos. The Titans are basically the Broncos feeder club. And with a performance like that, I think the future doesn't look real good for the Broncos.
Well, they're going to try and steal Ash Taylor.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the biggest talking points in this game was the form, or lack thereof, of million-dollar man Jarryd Hayne.
I said this last week.
Backing up from a real knee-deep Brown game last week against the Tigers, Hayne went again with another poo performance. He fell off tackles, he kicked the ball dead, and he actually gave up in cover defence at one stage. Now, considering he's running around in 2018 for another $1.2 million, he can expect the spotlight to burn even hotter next year.
Yeah, he's a major problem there. As I said, I mentioned this last week. If you were playing alongside him, knowing that he is stealing $1.2 million next year, it would be hard to take, and it's no wonder that Ash Taylor is considering returning to the Broncos.
That's right. Now, with star hooker Andrew McCulloch out for the year, Wayne Bennett named halfback and Dragon signing, Ben Hunt the number nine, and he didn't disappoint, shining in almost everything he did.
Yes.
Even though he started off the bench, his impact was immediate when he ran onto the field in the 20th minute, ending the game with two line breaks, two try assists, and three tries. Just for those playing at home, the first 20 minutes, the 5/8 position was filled by Sid.
I don't know.
Sam Thaiday.
Yeah, wow.
He's a genius, Bennett. He is a genius.
Yeah.
Say what you want about him.
54-0.
He's an old rooter, but geez, I tell you what, he's a genius when
that
it comes
to that. Didn't go wrong. It was completely dominant performance from the Bronx. And with the Broncos, Sharks and Eels all on 30 points, the for and against after this game can't hurt them either.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's a good point too this time of year. A couple of the girls employed under the Chinners Equal Opportunity Program down at the Former Legend Backyard Stats Lab, Butt Plug and Strap On, tell us that Corey Oates had a great game in the traditional number 18 jersey. He ended up with a massive 222 running metres with just 13 runs, a line break and two tries.
Yeah, well, Shanisha, Janisha and Brittany down at the lab report that basically everyone from the Broncos played well and everyone from the Titans played shit.
Oh,
not as in-depth stats from the girls as from the boys, I've got to be honest.
But good dancers.
Yeah.
The Sharks were very disappointing against the Raiders at Southern Cross Bogentat Stadium, going down 30 points to 12. Now, it's hard to believe that the Sharks were up 8-0 early in this game and looked to have the Raiders rattled. It's harder still to believe that the Raiders then scored four pretty soft tries in a half-hour period that ultimately snuffed the Sharks out of the game.
Yep.
Shane Flanagan was filthy after the game, saying their defensive efforts in part was responsible for letting in the tries. He said it was just a frustrating game and we came up with some uncharacteristic decisions on three tries.
Yeah, there were some really weak tries in this game with some poor defensive reads. But that pass from Bird for the Beal try, that was outstanding. That was awesome to watch.
Now, remember when we previewed this game in last week's episode?
I vaguely remember. I was 14 drinks in. I was more than the Queen.
I said that I couldn't. That's why he's. Anyway, I was going to. Yeah. I said. Have a look at my crown jewels. Remember when we previewed this game last week, Sid? I said to you that I couldn't remember the details, but one of these teams had domination over the other.
Yeah, you were a bit light on the stats there.
Well, I was close. The stat between these two that was a little bit out of the box was that neither of these teams can win at home against the other one.
Okay.
And so it continued on Saturday night. The Raiders continued their streak, meaning neither of these teams have won when playing at home against the other one for the past 9 appearances.
Yeah, well, that's not the most interesting stat I've ever heard, but something changed down the stats lab. These stats are a bit ordinary.
LaQuisha's down there dancing.
Interesting, though. Here's a stat for you. This is the second week in a row that Ricky hasn't complained about the refs.
Why would that be?
I don't know.
They've just come good. Ever since they started winning, they've come good.
Don't understand it.
The turning point in this game, Sid, was when the Raiders had Josh Papali sitting in the bin. Now, mysteriously, the Sharks failed to capitalise. Actually, they went the opposite way and played like 13 little dickhats out there. They didn't score a point as they rarely had the ball in hand and actually conceded 3 penalty goals while facing 12 men.
Yeah, the Sharks were just outplayed in this game. So, yet again, we have to keep talking about the Raiders.
Yeah,
Because there's
more
still a mathematical chance.
Sunday. Speaking of mathematical chances, geez, I went a little bit hot there. The Seagulls bounced back from a real poo patch of form by hammering the Roosters at Legoland 36 points to 18. 2 minutes before halftime, the Roosters were up 18 points to 4, Sid.
Yep.
Before a Tom Trbojevic try got the Seagulls back to within 8 points at the break. However, the Roosters weren't sighted again in the second half as Manly ran riot, scoring 26 unanswered points.
Yeah, what happened here? I didn't see this coming. After Manly,
strange game.
After Manly have leaked a heap of points, like 96 points or something in the last 2 weeks, and they're down 18-4, they dominated them.
I'll tell you how much they dominated them. Two of the new girls down the forward and back at Stats Lab.
What are their names?
Premenstrual and Bunny Boiler report that Trbojevic had a day out at Legoland. He finished with 170 running metres, a try assist, and two tries of his own, Sid.
Yeah, he's something special. He's a big boy, and he absolutely carved them up again. That ball from Walker in the lead up to the DCE try was awesome as well, like in the Brisbane game. And Manly just had a day out at Legoland.
Happy chinners? You happy?
You happy chinners? Look what you've created.
One of the more graphic descriptions of an injury came from Roosters coach Trent Robinson. Both Daniel Tupu, who had a groin injury, and Sia Su... Sid?
Should we ask Siri?
Ask Siri. How do you say that? Siri, what's that bloke's name from the Roosters that got a bad finger the other day?
Sio Sila Torkiaho.
Yep, that's right. That's
Thanks,
him.
Thanks, Siri.
Thanks, Siri. So what happens, he was forced from the field, but it was the description of his injury that had everyone reaching for the sick bucket. Robinson said after the game, he had a compound fracture in the finger. It broke the skin, but hopefully it's not broken. It came out of the skin, so therefore we couldn't get it back in. The Panthers fell over the line to beat the Tigers at the Pig 28 points to 14. For the first time this year, the Panthers have scraped into the top eight, Sid. It's taking a few unconvincing wins and the Dragons to start travelling like a busted ass, but they are now in semi-final contention. That's the good news.
Yep.
The bad news is they look like shit. They played horribly in this game, and even the scoreline in this game flattered them. Two late tries got them over the line, and 65 missed tackles from the Tigers wasn't enough to give Penrith a leg up.
Yeah, the Tigers tried hard and were good in patches again, but in front of a big home crowd, the Panthers really should have put the Tigers to the sword in this one, but it took them 74 minutes before they locked it up.
Have you ever smelt your microphone? Putrid.
Have now. Wish I hadn't.
That's evil. It hasn't been covered in the press, Sid, but Nathan Cleary, playing for the Panthers, and the Greyhound, Ivan Cleary, coach of the Tigers, are related.
Eh?
That's right. They're actually father and son. And bugger me dead if they still don't live together.
Oh, wow.
Why wasn't this mentioned in the lead up to this game? It's just beyond me.
Mate, that would have made for a great story during the week. But get this.
Yep.
I can exclusively reveal that Dallin Watin Zalesniak
From Penrith.
Is actually related to Malachi Watin Zalesniak. And no. I know Watin Zalesniak is a common name.
Very
common.
I think it's
Dutch or something.
Should we be checking with Siri to see if that's
Finnish?
Right?
But it turns out they're related. I don't know, they're cousins or something. But
okay.
Yeah, they're related.
Interesting. I think they're father and son as well.
This should have been mentioned in the lead up to this game.
Why wasn't it? Could have been a real family feud, family affair.
Could have been.
To give you an idea of how crap the Panthers were in this game, Led Sleb and Wipeout from the former Legend Backyard Stats Lab tell us that on top of the 65 missed tackles from the Tigers, the Panthers had 45 of their own. They had 14 errors with the ball and 68% completion rate. I'll go one step further, Sid.
Go one step further, you bold man.
The Panthers have an obvious game plan of not kicking into the in goal and try and get a repeat sec for fear of giving the opposition a 7-tackle set.
Okay.
What team, Sid, has so little faith in their kicking game and that will, with that sort of game plan, that will still make a dent in the semi-finals?
Yeah, it's a good point. I think we are starting to see that a few of these teams are going to scrape in, your Parramattas, your Penriths, and your Dragons. They'll be there.
Not your Parramattas. I think Parramatta will give something more than a whimper than these other couple
of
teams.
Yeah, but look, I've been saying it for weeks. There's the top three and there's the rest, and even the Roosters this week took a bit of a tumble. So basically, there's two teams left in this comp.
A couple of big name casualties to come out of this week. Bevan French will be rested this week to get his hamstring right after he aggravated it, for want of a better way of looking at it.
He did.
And the Rostog.
Oh, not Rostog. Rostog. Rostog.
Rostog's out for the rest of the year with a fractured back, and we wish him well.
We do.
Johnson the step for the heavyweight championship of the world.
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports News.
AFL, the Swans return to the winner's circle, beating Geelong by 8 goals, while the GWS Giants also had a good win, beating the Melbourne Demons by 6 goals down at Canberra.
Yeah, the Swans kicked 7-2 in the first quarter, and it was all over by then, as they bounced back after a loss last week, keeping their top four aspirations intact, and it was another good win from the Giants.
I don't know why GWS Giants don't just bite the bullet and moved down to Canberra. I watched a little bit of that game on the weekend.
Yeah.
Packed crowd at Marnica Oval.
Do you reckon they'd get it every second week?
They're more of a chance than what they are in Western Sydney. Jesus Christ, the chair's giving way. Aaron Molan.
I nearly fell off my chair because I got a whiff of my mic. Felt a bit ill.
Siri, get ready to step up and be co-host.
Do a better job.
Boxing. Details for the Jeff Horn-Manny Pacquiao rematches being ramped up, with a location yet to be announced. Noted boxing bigwig Nicole Kidman took time out of the Botox clinic to say that her hometown of Sydney should host the fight, Sid.
Oh, and what a great ambassador for Sydney our Nicole is.
And she'd, boxing.
She'd dead set spend 3 weeks a year here. Nothing says Sydney, or boxing for that matter, more than the name Nicole Kidman.
She's more Botoxing than boxing, but anyway.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Swimming. One of the most overfunded non-performing Australian teams, the Australian swim team, the Dolphins, Sid, once again gave us piss all at the recent World Championships in Budapest.
Didn't they ever? I'm filthy.
On the upside, they had plenty of room for duty-free perfume with just 1 gold, 5 silver and a few bronze to bring home in the carry-on luggage.
Seriously, what happened to swimming in this country? We no longer talk about the medals. We talk about, oh, who's Thorpey going out with? Or which hotel did Hackett smash up this week? The glory days are gone. Even the pasty Poms beat us now in swimming. Let that sink in, former. Let that sink in like our backstrokers sink to the bottom of the pool. The
like
Poms,
stones.
The Poms are now better at swimming than Australia.
They're that scared of water they don't brush their teeth. They don't have showers, yet they're better swimmers than us. It doesn't even make sense.
It's a national disgrace.
Just for those playing at home, 8 Olympic-sized pools in all of England.
Fair dinkum.
8.
Wow.
And yet they're better than us. Why don't we return to the glory days, Sid?
What's it going to take?
We were smashing opposition teams like guitars. Let's get back on the steel knocks. Let's release your own pearl necklaces like Thorpey.
The glory days of Australian swimming.
Love the pearl necklace, Thorpey.
Oh.
Have someone busted on the bugle in the shitters at Randwick Racecourse, Sid.
Who was that?
Bugles on the bugle.
Now, that's a great headline. I don't care. I don't care if we get sued. That was great. Bugles on the bugle.
Get someone to go ape shit and hand out nipple cripples on an old Jetstar flight from Adelaide, Sid. Get back to the glory days. Here's an indication of how bad we're travelling. The high performance budget for the swim team has gone from $6.1 million.
Waste of money.
To $11.6
million. Oh, yeah. Good idea.
The administration support unit, Sid.
What the hell is that?
I don't even know what that is.
Is that like floaties?
Their spending went from 2.1 to 7.2 in that time.
Oh, money well spent.
Employee expenses have gone from 3.9 to 7.1. In Budapest, for the World Championships that we went no good at, there were 31 swimmers and 22 support staff.
Having said that, when Hackett was on tour, he had 22 support staff to bail him out.
Bouncers.
Yeah. Clean up all his shit.
Lawyers.
Still knocks providers.
And Red Bull fridges. Running. Usain Bolt had his last run and it was a dud. He came third to proven drug cheat Justin Gatlin. Now, to be honest, Sid,
yes,
a lot of people were saying it was sad to see him go and it was disappointing, but I couldn't give a rat's ass.
No, me neither.
I might be the only one, but I can't cop this bloke. Ever since he told Mel McLaughlin to don't blush, baby, I've gone right off him.
Exactly. That was an embarrassment.
What a disgrace to athletics he is. Soccer. The Matildas have won the inaugural.
Just before we go on, that's why people tune in, for the accuracy of our commentary.
Get Siri onto that. I think that's right. The Matildas have won the inaugural Tournament of Nations, beating Japan, USA, and finally Brazil. And
thank fuck we're good at something.
6-1 we won the final and immediately devoted their win to recently passed legendary soccer commentator Les Murray.
This was a good win and a fitting tribute. Good on you, girls.
And final sports story of the week, Sid, a bit of a sad one. Valet to Betty Cuthbert, the Australian sprinter dubbed the Golden Girl after her 100 and 200 metre successes at the 1956 Melbourne Olympics. She died this week at the age of 79, the Golden Girl. And who will ever forget her as Blanche in the Golden Girls?
Yeah, she wasn't Blanche in the Golden Girls. It's very sad news again this week. Old Betty, as I always called her. She'd struggled with the insidious disease, MS, for some time. She was a four-time gold medalist and a flag bearer at the 2000 Olympic Games as one of the great Australian sportswomen. Remember they handed the torch?
Yep. I think it was to Kathy, wasn't it?
I think so.
But she was in her wheelchair. Anyway.
Australian champion, Valet, Betty Valet, Cuthbert.
Betty Cuthbert, Valet. Gone too soon. Full credit to the boys. All right, Sid, it's time for podcasting's number one segment. It's time for this. We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. No message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Start on a strong note, Sid.
I'll be the judge of that.
Grab a mirror, Robbie Tripp.
Who's Robbie Tripp?
Well, Robbie Tripp is some insipid-looking, lily-livered, weak-gutted prick.
Yeah? What's he done?
Well, on social media this week, this went viral. He wrote this ode to his curvy wife, or his tribute to his curvy wife. There's a photo of his so-called curvy wife. Not that bad as what I would have thought, Sid.
Not a bad sort. I'm looking at the photo as we speak.
But let me read his little tribute out like a prick that he is.
Okay.
I love this woman and her curvy body, he says. As a teenager, I was often teased by my friends for my attraction to girls on the thicker side, ones who were shorter and curvier, girls that the average basic bro might refer to as chubby or even fat. Then, as I became a man and started to educate myself on issues such as feminism and how the media marginalises women by portraying a very narrow and very specific standard of beauty, thin, tall, lean, I realised how many men have brought into that lie. For me, there is nothing sexier than this woman right here. Thick thighs, big booty, cute little side roll, etc., etc.
Yeah.
Her shape and size won't be the one featured on the cover of Cosmopolitan, but it's the one featured in my heart. Oh, go on, mate. But this bloke is a dead set
mate,
dick brain.
What a feminist.
Oh.
Look at my fat girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what he's basically saying.
It's what they burnt their bras for, to be called fat.
He ends the post when he calls her my Sarah.
I mean, good on blokes.
You fucking big note and cock knocker. Has anyone asked my Sarah to write a tribute to this punsy-looking, weak-gutted dick flop, Sid? Grab a mirror, Robbie Tripp, you wanker, and think yourself lucky that you've got a girlfriend that doesn't require inflating you overachieving dick knob.
If anything, he thinks she's been a little overinflated. Is that what I got out of that? I'm not sure what I got out of that. Let's move on.
Equal
10.
Oh, we're doing equals again. Come on, man.
Shell Cove Rabbit wrote, grab a mirror, the 23 people this week who will be former legends equal 10th. Hashtag lift your game. Hashtag get Sid's goat.
I agree. It's not hard. It's a top 10. You know how many is in the top 10? 10!
15. At Milram361 replied, I disagree. It's all part of the rich tapestry of the potty. To which Shell Cove Rabbit came back, grab a mirror at Milram361 for using the word tapestry when discussing a rugby league podcast. Hashtag art and craft shit. Hashtag no place for that arty shit.
I like that.
Equal
10.
Adsos wrote, grab a mirror, seriously, Malcolm Turnbull. $122 million for a postal vote, you dickhead. Spend the dollars on housing homeless and let people marry whoever they want.
Hear, hear.
You happy with that one?
Yeah, that's good.
Just pad out a bit. Drew okay. Bennett wrote, grab a mirror of the government for not letting gay people be as miserable as everyone else.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Equal
10.
More equals.
Oh, you wouldn't believe it, my screen's going over. Okay, Hannah McArdle says, grab a mirror of the BBC for debating about people booing Justin Gatlin. If we want to boo double drugs cheats, we have every right to. Grab a mirror, hashtag snowflakes.
Hear, hear.
Hannah, couldn't agree more.
Refer to my Homer Simpson quote earlier. Totally agree.
Equal
10.
At Mr. Barjas wrote, grab a mirror, B. Arthur, telling bosses to let employees go early to see Para get smashed by the Knights, just like the last time they met at the ANZ, and he put in a screenshot of this, the little letter.
Good job.
Equal
10.
McFlavor7 says, grab a mirror, Brad Arthur, for thinking that Parramatta supporters have jobs.
B. Arthur from the Golden Girls. That's what I'm calling him now, the Golden Girl.
9.
At MF underscore underscore underscore. Hashtag grab a mirror at the NRL. I expect to be able to watch my Dragons get pummeled at the SCG on a sunny Sunday, not a cold fucking Friday at knockoff.
Hear, hear. That was a stupid decision, putting that at 6 o'clock on a Friday.
8.
At youngman underscore one said, grab a mirror, Des Hasler. The only coaching that's taken place in the Bulldogs' change rooms all this year is when that dickhead with a death wish told Clemmer he needs to develop an offload.
Super coach.
7.
At Joe Davola 76 said, grab a mirror, morons, who write on dirty cars, wash me. It was never funny, and do you think you're the first person to do it? They probably voted for P. Hansen.
6.
Grab a mirror, says Farcanel 66. My wife watched every episode of At MasterChef AU, but still dishing up jail quality gruel. Do I need to shave my head and or get a cravat?
5.
At Lynn G 62 says, grab a mirror, wanky businessman in suits walking 3 abreast on airport footpath. Should have mowed you down for feeder style. Hashtag knobs, hashtag dickhats.
Good point. Can't agree anymore.
4.
At Maximus underscore 07 says, grab a mirror to the bastard at Sid Punt who writes the jingles for the podcast. Had At Rum and Q Barbecue song in my head for 3 days.
A lot of people have been saying that. Very popular jingle. Rum and Q Barbecue Pit Masters. If you want to advertise anything, hit me up. I can write a good jingle.
Can write a jingle.
Yes. What are we up to?
You'll go.
Top 3.
Have a go.
I'll have a go. Well, it's that time of year again.
What time is it?
Grab a mirror, the genius bloke, Cacao Oliver. Do you know who that is, former?
No.
He is the creator and organizer of yours and my favorite pageant, Miss Bum Bum.
Magnificent bastard, I believe we know him as.
Now, for the uninitiated, Miss Bum Bum is a competition that is held anally. I mean... annually in Brazil to determine which chick has the best bum bum. It's not just a clever name. Chicks strip down to G-bangers in the very PC competition that is called Miss Bum Bum to show off their ass, and 17 million Brazilian bastards, ass-obsessed Brazilian geniuses, ring in and vote for their preferred pooper. This is the greatest pageant I've ever heard of. Contestants this year include Eileen Esquerda. She's an amputee.
She's Eileen, yeah. To the left. Mate.
For those of you that speak Portuguese, I may have made up this name. Eileen Esquerda. Look that up. She's an amputee. She should probably be in the Miss Leg competition. Because she's missing a leg. But she's trying to luck at Miss Bum Bum because she can't compete in Miss Leg Leg. She's only got one.
How would you go if you run second to her?
You'd be filthy. But grab him.
Just rank Joel Kane, Eileen's at 50s. 50s and blowing.
Eileen Esquerda. Look that up. So grab a mirror, the Miss Bum Bum competition. Grab a mirror, all you competitors, you magnificent bitches. Can I say that? And grab a mirror, the whole nation of Brazil, you magnificent bastards.
What a place.
Yep.
And I get a start over there.
It's great over there.
Oh, this is just a real downer after that.
Oh, sorry. Sorry my grab a mirror was so awesome. Have a go.
Grab a mirror. Aldi, Sid.
Aldi?
Yeah.
What have they done?
Now, there's a joint thrown together by a crack addict, if ever I've seen one.
Yes.
Where else can you buy a $500 treadmill and a bag of rice?
It's so random when you walk in there.
Looking for some motorbike boots? They're in between the garlic bread and the apple, Sid.
That's where you'd expect them to be.
What about a piano accordion, Sid? Well, head on over down to the washing powder and sliced ham. Is Aldi the only place in the world where you can pick up a tumble dryer, a massage table, and a stick of salami under the one roof? Or what about that crazy combo of a homebrew kit, chocolate licorice, and a pair of flippers? No dramas down at Aldi.
That's a good party at my joint.
And do Aldi really think they're tricking anyone with their fake brands they've got on offer? Anyone for some lovely Vegemite? How about some rice babbles? Don't forget to buy some Tollgate toothpaste and some Bradbury's chocolate.
Totally seems legit.
So, Baba Wirra, Aldi.
3.
At Toddy 2102, Le Dragon Sportif. Grab a mirror at Lynn's carer. He's called out someone, right?
Yeah. She's a long-time listener.
Well, I think it's a he.
Okay.
At Lynn's carer, he says, grab a mirror. For talking to the HR manager, which was then taken as an invitation to sit at our table during a work function, hashtag no dick jokes, hashtag no laughs, hashtag brown nose.
Oh, so he's full called her out.
Him.
Him or her. Lynn's carer, whoever they are.
2.
At Punning Tragic, said, grab a mirror, this fireman, for literally eating pussy. And he's put in a cutout from a paper.
Yep.
Fireman giving kiss of life accidentally inhales kitty.
What the?
A brave fireman was rushed to the hospital for injuries suffered in the line of duty when he swallowed a tiny kitten while trying to revive it with a kiss of life. he pulled out a bunch of cats out of a Stockholm, Sweden home, including a 6-ounce kitten gasping for air. He ran over, started to do CPR on the kitten. I was standing right next to him, and the next thing I knew, he gulped real hard and swallowed the animal.
Jesus.
It's a bloke that takes his job pretty serious. The kitten did not survive. But animal rights activists plan to honour Larson.
Oh, yeah, he's a hero.
Killed a cat.
He shat out a cat.
But this is the top grab a mirror for this week.
1.
We get there in the end.
At Juice Clark. And I don't know if you've seen this before, Sid, but this week there was a photo of this cow that looks like Gene Simmons. Have
you
seen
it? Oh, I did see that.
Black and white cow.
It's identical.
Went everywhere. And anyway, he wrote, grab a mirror at Gene Simmons for rooting a cow.
We all want you to go grab a mirror.
Oh, it's a really good atmosphere down here in Bunnings. I work over in plumbing and there's always practical jokes being played. Sometimes Ralph from Paint drops up and chews up a Mars bar and puts it in my display toilet. Other times, Bill from down at Timber Yard puts L plates on my back. Or then old Mary down at the checkouts pulls the wipers up on my Chimera.
Do you ever play practical jokes back to them?
Yeah, I shit in all their lunchboxes.
Lowest prices are just the beginning.
All right, Sid, it's time to make podcasting history.
This is The first time in the world, I believe.
We're going to have a talkback segment, Sid, and, well, it's time to open the lines.
Yeah, if you're listening right now, ring up
call
on our
in.
Number.
You know the number, call in, and we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. And, well, look, board's lit up.
Look at the board light up. Which one of these callers should we take?
Try line 29, Sid. That's the last number I wore in grade football.
All right, I'll just press 29. You're on the air.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, you've reached full credit to the boys. Full credit to the boys. Who's this? Who are we talking to?
Oh, g'day, it's John.
G'day, hey, John. John, what's your last name? What's your last name begin with? What letter does it begin with?
M.
John M. Now, we'll just refer to the fake taxi dick name generator, and from now on, John, we'll be calling you Squirty Shooter.
Is that his dick name?
That's his dick name, Squirty Shooter.
John M., Squirty Shooter.
Go ahead, Squirty.
What
do you
got for a Squirty?
The same place Stilettos knows me as. That's fine. Long-time listener, first-time caller, boys. Look, I listened to last week, and I heard that, you know, you had the International Day happening, all that sort of thing.
Yep.
Today is the International Day of the Cat.
Today is International Cat Day. You don't sound like a real talkback caller, ringing in about cats.
Well, while we talk about cats, a shout-out to my ex who's got 9 of them. So.
So you've been listening to the show tonight, Squirty?
Yeah, look, I have. And like earlier, boys, I've got to love your insights into the Queen. I mean, the Queen is a complete piss wreck, and we all know that. I mean, for God's sake, how long has she lasted this long? I mean, look at Prince Philip, you know. Phil the Greek, God bless him, you know, he's been on the piss forever. You know, the only way he could possibly have survived public life is being on the gins from 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, God bless him.
Speaking of piss wrecks, boys, I heard you talking about a bloke in Amsterdam who got his berry basket caught in a zoo fence. I'm a bit worried. My young bloke's travelling around Europe and I haven't heard from him for a week.
What's his name? What's your young bloke's name there?
Nick.
Nick. So,
what's his nickname, former?
Hang on, I'll have a look for you. I'll tell you what his nickname is. His nickname, thanks to Fake Taxi, the nickname generator would be Dangly Shooter. So
Dangly Shooter.
Shout out to young Dangly Shooter. How old's Dangly Shooter?
He's 18, Squirty? Former.
18. Well, mate, let's put it this way. If he's 18-year-old and he's breaking into zoos while he's in Amsterdam on the piss, I don't think he'll be needing his ball bag for anything.
It's probably best he doesn't breathe, isn't it? Get rid of that in the gene pool.
Thanks for being our first caller, and keep listening to Full Credit to the Boys. And this song goes out to Dangly Shooter over there in Amsterdam, stuck on a fence. Well, thank you to Squirty Shooter for joining us for our first ever callback, our talkback.
Made history.
Podcasting history was made here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And sorry to the 37 other callers who were online and couldn't get through.
Maybe next time. Thanks for holding on.
Full credit to the boys. Barbecue pitmasters.
Now, Sid.
Yes.
How many end of season footy functions do you reckon I've been to?
Oh. You get invited to a bajillion of them.
And how many Mad Mondays have I been to?
You've been to a few of those.
Now, in all that time, how many shitty sausage sandwiches or rough hot dogs or crap meat pies do you reckon I've been fed?
Heaps.
The only way I reckon we can improve everyone's game is if everyone gets around Rum and Q Barbecue Pitmasters.
Well, this is exactly what they do, and it's perfect for an end-of-season event.
And someone will come along and cook for you. I mean, is there a better idea than that?
Mate, you can take it one of two ways. You can get the barbecue equipment and all the gear and all the rubs and all the business and do it yourself. Or they will send out a pitmaster and cater for your event.
Now, is there somewhere where we can try one of these things before we decide to get it for our end-of-season barbecue?
Well, as we discussed last week, they're going to put on a workshop just for creditors, just for the Full Credit to the Boys listeners. It's going to be on Saturday, the 2nd of September in Sydney. So if you want a ticket to that, go to their website, rumandqbarbecuehire.com, or get them on Instagram or Facebook. They're on Twitter. We'll throw it out there this week. It's a great Father's Day gift.
How much is it?
It's $95, I think.
Oh, cheap at half the price.
And tickets are selling fast.
Yeah, I heard.
Straight away after last week, they sold a number of tickets. There's only, I think, 20 available. So get in quick because it's going to sell out.
Yeah, and thank you to Rum and Q Barbecue Pitmasters for sponsoring Full Credit to the Boys.
Proud sponsors, Full Credit to the Boys.
Rum and Q Barbecue Pitmasters.
Round 23 preview, sitting at salary cap round. Todd
salary
Green,
cap round.
Well, a couple of the teams, well, 11 possibly, are struggling to get down to the salary cap for next year. So Todd Greenberg has asked fans to wear caps that are just too small for their own heads.
Good idea.
In recognition of the another team's struggles. Initiative. Thursday, the Dogs take on the Bunnies at Renovators Delight in the Todd Polglase Trophy.
I'm going a bit of an upset here. Maybe it's not an upset. I'm going the Doggies. No. I think the Doggies will beat the Bunnies.
I don't think they'll win another game this year, the Bunnies.
Yeah. Okay.
Hopefully Robbie has a big one. Friday, Eels take on the Knights at Renovators Delight in the Zeb Taya Trophy.
The Eels will win this.
By a million.
Really? I think it'll be close.
Broncos take on the Sharks at Stinder in the Michael Ennis Shield.
The Broncos will win.
Ooh.
Just.
Sharks travel well this year. I'm going to back the Sharks.
Good. I like a bit of controversy.
Dragons take on the Titans at Everything Around Here is Closed Down Stadium in the Luke the Bull Bailey's Plate.
Isn't it? Just down at Carlton, it's just like a ghetto now. Boarded Everything's
up, boarded up shop stadium.
Jeez, I don't even care.
Nah, not
but really. To all our Dragons fans out there, I'm going the Dragons.
I'd go the Dragons, although the Titans score a lot of tries through kicks, which might bother the Dragons.
Isn't it going to bother Mary?
But I'll back the Dragons anyway because I think Titans have switched off for the year.
Yes.
Storm take on the Roosters at Ronda and Kutut in the Tevita Matusila.
The Storm will win that. That's a crucial game for the Roosters.
I think the Storm might rest some players.
Yeah.
And back the Roosters to bounce back here.
I like that.
It's the loss the Storm have to have before the semis. You like that?
No, that's a load of crap.
Panthers take on the Cowboys at the Pig in the Jody Gall Jug.
Yeah, geez, this is going to be a close one as well. With absolutely no confidence, I'm going the Panthers.
I'm going the Cowboys.
Good.
I've got no faith in the Panthers. I thought they were ordinary against us.
They were.
Sunday, Warriors take on the Raiders at Not So Smart in the Sione Faumuina Shield.
I'm telling you, this is the kind of game that will get the crowds back. The Warriors versus the Raiders at this time of year, no one gives a flying. You know what? I hope the Warriors win so we don't have to talk about the Raiders anymore. I'm going the Warriors.
I think three more losses and Stephen Kearney reaches 26% in his coaching success record. So with that in mind, the Raiders. Tigers take on the Seagulls at the Eighth Wonder in the Stephen Crouch Shield.
Well, I think there's no doubt that the Tigers will lose this. The Sea Eagles will win.
Yeah, I think the Sea Eagles might have got their ship back on course after last week.
Yes, even at the Eighth Wonder, I think the Sea Eagles will win.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on this because both of us busted. We got a little bit
ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, a little bit too big for our boots. We went three game multis. Yours was the more successful. In fact, with 5 minutes to go, you would have got all three legs up. You picked the Eels and the Storm, and unfortunately, you went the Dragons.
Couldn't defend a kick.
Yeah. So you talked me into going a three leg multi as well. Well, I talked myself into it. And I got one out of three, typical for my tipping. I picked the Broncos, but the Sharks and the Roosters let me down. So we're both back to $20 and we don't owe each other anything.
No, so what are we looking at? What are you going to go?
Well, we've been split pretty much down the middle here.
Yep.
I just got to try and get ahead of you. I'm going the Broncos over the Sharks.
Well, I'm going to go the exact opposite.
Oh, you can't do that.
I'm going the Sharks to beat the Broncos.
Nah, well, I'm changing then.
We'll do what you want.
That's bullshit. That's just an easy win because, you know, one of us is going to win and it's probably going to be you. I'm changing it.
Cat.
You're going the Sharks. I'm going to go the Dragons over the Titans.
Oh, big of you. Massive.
The Dragons fans love it when I back them in.
Yeah, there's another loss for you. Rack them up now. Yeah, people always recognise me since I started working down here from my old footy days. They love to have a bit of a joke with the old former legend.
G'day, former. Where can I find a left-handed hammer?
I find one and put one through the back of your head.
Eh?
Good one, mate. Look down aisle 7 near the sheds.
Lowest prices are just the beginning.
Roll the sack, open the sack, empty the sack. The boy is sad.
Boys sack mail and feedback time. And first of all, thanks to Galpo and Beer Boy for the coffee
cups. Yes, very much so.
Send us coffee cups for these, to celebrate our 100th birthday.
A couple 100th of mugs. Episode. I've got one right in front of me. It says, it's got our logo on it, and it says 100 episodes, done good. Now, normally I have beers during the podcast, but this week I'm having a half double decaf decaffeinated half calf latte with goat's milk. Out of my full credit to the boys' coffee mug. Thank you, lads.
Lactose-free goat's milk, too.
And remember, just because it's not our 100th show, really every show is a milestone, so feel free to send me free shit.
Every week we're not sued.
But we appreciate it. Thanks, boys.
Now, this week's shout-out, we're going to go Rusty Crow?
Yeah, I think we should.
It's at Russell Crow, all one word. Now, what we want you to do, we want you to tweet on our behalf, say that we'd love Rusty to come on as on our grand final show and play Porn Star Athlete.
He can bring his dog, we don't
bring
care.
Bring his dog, bring K Blue. No dramas whatsoever.
Rum and Q Blue. Bring the dog.
Yeah, not a drama at all. So if you can tweet him at Russell, don't be nasty.
Don't be nasty.
Don't be dickhats. Just ask Rusty to come on the show. No 5-star reviews this week, Sid. Nearly strike action.
Yeah, there might not be a 103rd show unless you start giving us good raps.
I believe we have a guest already tied up for next week.
We do indeed. It's a little out of left field for me, but
he's fast.
It's going to be fun. Good Blake.
How many subscribing this week, Sid? How many should we subscribe, unsubscribe? How many times?
27 times.
27.
That's the board lit up tonight with 29 callers. We could only get to one of them.
Yep.
So subscribe and unsubscribe 29 times.
I don't even understand where 27 came from 29. Sid, who's been your dickhead of the week?
My dickhead of the week is Mia Friedman.
Oh, standing order, isn't it?
Yeah. She's a complete and utter dickhead, but somehow this week she's made gay marriage all about her.
Good.
Let's be honest, that's what she does. What a champion of minorities Mia Friedman is, this millionaire straight white woman.
Put out your Ferraris for the poor.
Yeah. Put out your diamond rings. Anyway, who's your dickhead?
Do you know who Lisa Oldfield is, Sid?
I do, actually.
Who's she?
She's married to that other dickhead.
Okay. Well, apparently she's a star on Real Housewives of Sydney.
So oh, yeah.
Not sure what that is.
Let me do those air quote things.
And her husband, David, was a politician for One Nation.
Yes.
Who is now on the celebrity cooking show, Hell's Kitchen. So after David's shocking attempt on the first episode of Hell's Kitchen, Lisa posted a photo of her and him lying in bed naked on Instagram, with her telling her 30,000 followers she gave him a sympathy shag. She posted under the photo, and I quote, I'm just going to say this, I'm not going to add any more to it.
Okay.
I gave the old bloke at Dave Oldfield AU a sympathy shag. We all know my show was better than his at Hell's Kitchen on 7 at RHO Sydney, hashtag RHOS. She said, and I'll say the last part. To be fair, I haven't eaten in a while thanks to my diet and just wanted something warm inside me.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Who's under the pump this week, Sid?
I feel ill. I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Let me just spit out a bit of corn here. The Dragons are under the pump. They are slip sliding away. They need a win desperately, and I've tipped them.
Enjoy, Dragons fans. Strap yourself in. I've never done this before on this show, Sid.
Do it.
My under the pump's actually a serious one.
What?
For the first time ever, I'm going to get serious.
Okay.
Jarrod Haynes under the pump.
Why?
He's got a coach that has been revealed didn't want him in the first place today.
Yep.
A team that has no one on the sort of coin that he's on.
Yep.
And they are going and getting lapped by 50. In all honesty, he's not playing like a bloke who should be getting $500,000 a year, let alone the million he's getting. As I said last week, he tries hard, but when shit doesn't happen for him, he just goes and tries harder instead of pulling it back a bit. He's a good player who shows glimpses of what he can do, but at $1 million a year, you need to see more than glimpses. So he is under the pump this week.
Very much so.
Because if things go according to plan, Ash Taylor will leave that club, unfortunately, and go back to Brisbane, and that is a tragedy.
It is.
On that note, thank you for joining us. It's good night from me.
It's good night from him.
See you next week with our special guest.
And call in next week on the open line. Bye-bye.
See ya. You're playing games with my heart. I got a lot, but I ain't